British Public Radio. Comedy.
Listener discretion is advised.
Why does Lincoln feel longer than the Civil War?
Answer me this, answer me this.
Why doesn't Prince Harry's PR person tape up his jaw?
Answer me this, answer me this. Helen and Ollie, answer me this.
So, last week we set you the challenge of getting your local branch of Thornton's. Well, it didn't have to be a local branch. I suppose you could go and travel a long way if you wanted
to. You might prefer to, because you don't want the shame of defiling your beloved local branch of Thornton's with your crazy desires.
That's right, yes. To get them to write a rude message onto some chocolate.
Or just see where their limits lay. It didn't have to be rude necessarily, but it could be testing the boundaries of taste or political decency.
We have had verbal proof of this, Helen, from Anna. She's emailed us to say, last Christmas, the man in the Wolverhampton branch of Thornton's...
represent...
was more than happy to write the word twat down the scarf of a chocolate snowman I bought my brother.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
So there you go, Thornton's. Wolvo is where the rot is setting in. If you want to enforce your terms and conditions, shut down Wolverhampton.
Well, they probably will be, because the recession is really biting in the West Midlands.
Yeah, yeah. I joke, but... Yeah.
Although we do love our sweets now that the cabaret has fallen to the Europeans.
Do you think that's what it is? Maybe why that's why he was happy to write twat on it. They're just so angry at chocolate in general.
Hello, it's John from London. Helen, Ollie, answer me this. Is the gherkin related at all to the word Gurkha? I walk past the gherkin every day on the way to work, and I've always wanted because they're spelled reasonably similarly.
Is the shard related to Shada from Big Brother 1? No.
Is the globe related to earlobes?
Is Somerset House related to Hugh Laurie House?
I think we're saying no, aren't we? That's what we're saying.
Are.
Yeah. Just sounds the same, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, gherkin, which obviously is not the official name for that building, is it?
No, it's called One Captain, Bedwetter House or something.
Yeah. Captain Dildo Point. Gherkin is from an old Dutch word, gherk, which meant cucumber, and the inn was a diminutive because gherkins are small cucumbers.
Gherkas? No, no relation at all.
No, it's from a place in Nepal where the gherkas... Yeah. Descend.
Where they do perhaps also have gherkins.
It's possible. Yeah. I wouldn't put it past the Nepalese. I don't know whether it's a good cucumber-growing climate.
I went to a Gurkha fundraising event about 2 years ago.
And was it fun?
It put the D in fun, Helen. yeah, it was all right. They made a very nice traditional Nepalese curry for everyone.
Did have gherkins in it?
Which didn't have gherkins in it.
Was Joanna Lumley there?
No, she wasn't. I secretly suspect that half the audience there did want her to be there, but she wasn't.
Lumley! Lumley!
but they all too polite to say so.
No Lumley, no gherkins. What a rubbish day out.
It was a perfectly pleasant afternoon out. The buffet was about £20 each. Yeah. I felt like I'd done my bit of funding.
Nepalese food is nice.
But then they had a charity raffle, and it's very... I was one of the youngest people in the room, but not so young that I obviously couldn't afford a ticket. Do you know what I mean? And I just felt like I had to show that, almost to represent people under 30, that I cared. I
bought a ticket. Gherka fans under 30 unite!
So I bought a ticket, and the tickets were expensive. I think they were about £10 each.
Oof.
But I won something.
What?
I won a...
£9 raffle prize.
Yes, basically. It was it was a sword, like a Gurkha traditional sword.
Oh, that is...
Wait for it, it gets naff. Full of rum.
That's still quite cool.
So like a glass bottle full of Nepalese rum.
How big was it?
20 inches.
See, now that you mention it, I think you may have boasted about your Gurkha rum sword, because otherwise why would those words belong together in my head? But when you said it was a bit rubbish, I was expecting it to be a Gurkha sword full of bubble bath with some matching hand lotion.
Like a car ornament with a nodding Gurkha head on it.
Here's a question from Willy, who says, I've been pondering the lyric in Justin Bieber's Beauty and the Beat.
Buns out wiener.
No, not that lyric, actually. One far less mystifying. The lyric that goes, we gonna party like it's 30-12 tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Originally, I thought it was, we gonna party like it's 13-12 tonight. Which confused me even more, because I thought Justin Bieber was pining for the days of woolen tights, tunics, lutes, and Georgian gangster rap. That's not a Georgian era.
Yeah, what era is that?
Oh, bloody Tudor? Medieval. I think it's even pre-Tudor. Now I'm embarrassed myself. I've slagged him off. It could be Plantagenet for all I know. Anyway, he says 30-12 makes a bit more sense, but not a lot. It's Justin Bieber. I don't think sense is really one of his primary concerns at this stage.
I actually don't think it does make a lot more sense. It's obviously a reference, isn't it, to We're Gonna Party Like It's 1999.
Yeah.
I think at the time, as in the 80s when Prince did that, a lot of people thought that was a cool lyric because it was referencing what was surely going to be the biggest party of all time. They didn't know about the Millennium Bug.
And it was really far ahead as well.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it's like the Black Eyed Peas where they did the I'm so 2008, you're so 2008, and it just 2 months later when
sounded
it was 2009.
Genuinely 2008.
Yeah, I mean it was dorky at the time. As is this, it just seems excruciatingly embarrassing.
Yeah. So, but the thing about 1999 is that by 2000, that seemed old.
Yeah, but then
but he did
already
it in the 80s. He had a good 15 years
right.
of fair play. Didn't
but
he?
I just wonder if Bieber's doing a sort of meta, sort of conscious reference to the fact that this song, it's such an epic song, Beauty and the Beat, it's such a masterpiece, that it's not ever going to date in the way that 1999 did.
It's well, 1999, though, had 15 good years. What Bieber's doing is trying to get 1,000
years. Get 1,000 years, yeah.
Well, Willie says, Ollie, answer me this. What do you think a party in 3012 would be like, and would you want to go to it? Not if Bieber was there.
Well, Helen, you rarely go to a party anyway.
Yeah.
Normally find some excuse.
But if Bieber was there, and I bet he would still look like an infant that couldn't be served drink. And Nicki Minaj...
in 1,000 years time.
Even then,
he'd probably look like Gandalf, Helen. He'd look like he does now.
No, he'd look like Benjamin Button. He'd look like a tiny wizened old man with a very smooth face.
He'd look like an old fetus. And Nicki Minaj would be there, and she'd still be mirthless and just trying to be ostentatious in this really exhausting way. And everyone else would be dead because of global warming, and all the soil would be extremely poisonous and
well, we know as well, of course, from Busted that after the year 3000, not much has changed, but we do live underwater.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing.
If you can call it living. I mean, it's like we're all living in the city where Jar Jar Binks is from.
But Bieber would be all right, because as we see in this video, he can sing underwater and everything.
Yeah, he learnt that when he used to get waterboarded by Usher.
Here's another question about a musical icon of our times. It's from Michael, who says, Helen, answer me this. Who is better, Simon or Garfunkel?
Why is this in the past tense? They're both still alive.
Yes, yeah, so, well, of course. They're both contemporary musicians with the best years ahead of them.
Very relevant.
Actually, Art Garfunkel does have that horrible vocal cord problem, doesn't he? So actually, he's not going to be able to sing anymore.
Well, he's got
nodules
or something.
Yeah, so...
he's about 70, though, isn't he?
He's still got the hair. And that's the important thing.
Well, and actually, that would probably be my answer. I mean, I although clearly, really, it should be Paul Simon, I think I'd choose Art Garfunkel for two reasons. One, Jufro. Two...
Bright eyes burning like fire.
Nearly.
Oh.
Because he's in The Hunting of the Snark, my favourite underrated musical of all time.
Oh, Jesus.
So for those two reasons, of course, both Bright Eyes and The Hunting of the Snark written by Mike Batt.
Are you on commission?
No, I just...
From the Hunting of the Snark Revivalist Society, which I've heard is very strong. And also Paul Simon blotted his copybook with all that A Whim Away type stuff.
God, no, I like Graceland.
He's such a smug songwriter.
He is smug.
The only thing about Simon Garfunkel is that they're like, each of them is half a brilliant musician. Like, Art Garfunkel is a brilliant singer, amazing singer. He can't really write. And Paul Simon is a really good writer, but just a bit of a pretentious twat with it. Art Garfunkel kind of drawing him towards like nice mainstream songs that people can enjoy, and there's not much to choose between them.
I prefer to think of them in their united form rather than divided into
weaker
constituents.
I think most people do.
Yes.
Yeah. What's your favourite Simon and Garfunkel hit?
Well, I loved how Hearsay covered Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Well, I really liked how Busted did which one did they do?
Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah, although actually that was, I can't believe Busted have come up twice in this, but that's also really a cover of the Lemonheads cover of Simon and Garfunkel, isn't it?
Actually, I was watching The Graduate on telly just yesterday.
Oh, what a life.
It's a good movie.
Well, it's good as well, the Hello Darkness My Old Friend.
That's, the Sound of Silence, yeah. I think that might be my favourite, actually.
You hate The Sound of Silence. I'll fill the sound of silence with my voice.
Wow, you didn't rehearse that, but you both did it.
It's because
we've been thinking it for about 6 years.
Oi, shut up and answer me this. Come on in, why don't you shut your ugly face? I'm not ugly, it's the condition.
It's no condition, it's the ugliness, mate.
Answer me this, podcast at googlemail.com. Answer me this, the podcast at googlemail.com. Answer me this, podcast at googlemail.com.
Nothing, seriously though, go back to your own country. That's what we're all thinking, isn't it? It's what we're all thinking.
Who's got a question? I ain't got no questions, don't look at me. Shut your mouth.
Here's a question from an anonymous person. Anonymous person says, my mother and I drove from Mill Hill in London to Costco in Watford. We drove there to purchase these particular new potatoes we love from there.
Wow. That's like a half-hour drive just to get one product.
Potatoes.
That's like a Kenyan tribeswoman going to the well. He just gets a new potato.
And maybe walk 10 minutes. It's not even new potato seasons. They're old potatoes at this stage. However, says anonymous person, when we got there, the new potatoes were out of stock.
No!
So we bought a gazebo and a wheelchair and half a horse.
And 50 muffins for the price of one and a jacuzzi.
We were distraught.
I don't blame you. There's only so many muffins you can fit in a jacuzzi.
But you could buy all the diamonds. I mean, you could fit loads of them in the jacuzzi.
Yeah, but not for the price of a new potato packet.
Well, not far off. Mm. You could get a lot of knock-off Crocs.
I've really lost the thread of this conversation. Yeah.
Person in Costco wants new potatoes.
They don't have any.
That's as far as we've got.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
But that's
highly problematic.
But next to us, says anonymous person, was an unattended trolley which had the potatoes we wanted.
WTF?
So after searching around and not finding an owner...
How hard did you search, really? This is like when people find a stray cat and they're like, oh yeah, it's probably not got a microchip in it, so we won't take it to the vet.
Because it's cool.
Yeah.
Anonymous person responded to the lack of trolley ownership thusly. I grabbed the potatoes out of the unattended trolley and bought them.
Ooh.
Knowing fully well that that was probably the last of the potatoes in the store. Ollie, answer me this. Was I breaking any laws by taking something out of someone's trolley?
No, you haven't broken any laws.
Except for the laws of Costco, because Costco does have its own government.
Well, actually, I mean, there's a serious point there, of course, which is that, you know, you can have terms of conditions for shopping in a place.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if the store security saw you do that, they wouldn't be very happy and they could chuck you out because it's their right to deny service to someone.
They're never going
to
be up by the potatoes, though. They're going to be next to the valuable objects.
They're going to be standing next to the plasma TVs.
Yes.
They're not going to think that you're going to be stealing potatoes.
And it's not actually a crime because you're still going to pay for the potatoes.
Exactly.
It'd be different if you're in the car park.
The point at which it becomes a legally enforceable matter is the point at which the property belongs to someone other than the store. But just someone putting it in their trolley, it doesn't belong to them. It still belongs to the store until you've paid for it.
It's unethical. It's like bid sniping.
Totally unethical.
It's naughty.
But it's not illegal. Although, that said, I bet if there had been particular focus on those potatoes, so say, for example, the potatoes were the new Nintendo Wii U on launch day.
Right.
You know, if people had been queuing for 10 hours to get those potatoes, then the police might consider that a more serious matter because it could have led to violence.
If you grabbed the last Buzz Lightyear in Hamleys.
Exactly. Yeah, like in Jingle All the Way before he punches the reindeer. If it was like that,
I'll take your word for it.
but
reindeer can be really grabby in Costco.
Oh yeah, they deserve it. Yeah, like when he kicks all the dwarves, they deserved it too. It's a really lovely film.
Well, I haven't seen the film. Spoilers.
It's actually the worst Christmas film ever made, but in a brilliant way.
Okay.
Anyway, in that way, I think there could have been some police-led consequences had that been the case. But since the new potatoes were not being watched,
and they're only bloody potatoes,
they had not been flagged. Yeah, you hadn't stolen from the store. I think what you've done is huge. Hugely unethical, but certainly not illegal.
All this fuss about potatoes, though, I just can't get behind it.
Well, see if you can get behind this, Helen. It's question about one of my favourite products to buy from Costco.
Mayonnaise!
Actually, one and the same to me.
Multi-purpose.
But no, in fact, it's neither of those. Peanut butter. I buy my Skippy from Costco. Jordan in Canada says... Peanut butter has recently become an uneconomical luxury for my poultry student budget.
Well, you should cut down on the poultry.
It's good. It's good. It's fresh.
Shut up, you guys.
So, Helen, answer me this. Is it possible? Is it possible to make homemade peanut butter?
Is it legal?
And if so, what is the recipe? I'm pretty sure such information will be invaluable to your student demographic.
Well, it certainly is possible, but
of course
don't...
it is. It's possible to make everything, isn't it? Most recipes started as homemade recipes, unless they're by Heston Blumenthal.
People have even tried making Twinkies. Even though they're not a food, they're just chemicals puffed up to look like a sponge cake.
Yeah.
It is possible, but I think it might work out more expensive for your student budget because...
Well, this is the thing, you've got to make it en masse, haven't you? That's the...
Yeah, and pad it out with loads of oil and water and stuff.
Because it's the same with jam, isn't it? Jam, if you have a fruit tree in your garden and you have all day to cook it, it's cheaper. But otherwise, if you're not making 20 jars of it, better to just go and get the value jam for a quid, isn't
it? It does keep. If you've got the capital investment, you probably get decent value for money.
Yeah.
I'm curious what I was asking us. I'm sure you could Google peanut butter recipe and immediately it would tell you how to make it.
That is what I did. And the peanut butter recipe is as follows.
Let me guess.
Peanuts. Yeah, peanuts.
Butter. Really?
Roast the peanuts for 6 to 8 minutes. And then put them in a blender and whiz them up for at least a couple of minutes.
You better be about to put some lard and sugar in there, Helen, because otherwise this is going to taste like that organic shitty peanut butter you get in the Whole Foods shop.
That's a bit like eating a beech.
That is not funny.
So add some oil as well before the whizzing. That's good. Important.
What sort of oil?
Vegetable oil or ground nut oil. Man. Seeing as you're grinding nuts, why not?
Yeah.
Whiz that up. If you want it smooth, whiz it for longer. Then add a little bit of sugar and salt to taste.
Yeah, which means if you're trying to imitate Costco peanut butter,
loads of sugar
a
to
bucket
taste.
Of sugar.
A kilo of sugar.
Yeah. But you could just buy a lower brand of peanut butter. I think where it saves actually is to make your own bread, because you can make really nice bread and that doesn't cost very much.
Yes, but then you have to really practice.
Nah, it's easy.
It's not easy.
It is easy.
It's not, Helen.
I've made it more than you, so I say it is.
Yeah, but, no, but that's exactly my point though, isn't it? You've made it more than me, so you think it's easy. I've tried three times. I failed every time.
That's because you've got weak hands.
What?
I can't knead the dough.
Your hands are a bit more womanly than Helen's. Is
that's
what
an
she's
outrageous
saying.
Allegation. I've tried making it in the oven. I've tried making it in a bread maker.
You have to actually make the dough first. You can't just put the ingredients in the oven and expect the magic to happen.
That's where I went wrong. I took a loaf of King's Mill and I ground it up in a smoothie maker.
And I tried to make it back together. I poured a bag of flour into the toaster. What gives?
Can you buy for $7.99 on iTunes? That seems worth it.
Kesha's new LP.
Churchill's biography.
Or an app that does jack shit.
For the same sum,
you can get all the fun of 5 hours of our old stuff.
We're selling the first 3 years of Answer Me This in iTunes.
Most of it is good, just a little bit is guff.
Go to answermethispodcast.com/classic and click the link.
And with your money, we'll swaddle ourselves in nothing but the fun.
Finest mink and gold shoes and diamond hats but normal pants.
Hello, Seattle. Good night. I don't know what to do about the salad and scrambled eggs. This is from Joe, who's there, who says, I recently went on a first date. I thought it was going nicely, but it ended somewhat abruptly at a bus stop.
When she was run over by a bus.
It does sound
a
bit like you pushed her in front of a bus, Joe. He continues, the next day, I sent a text saying that I had a good time and would be glad to get together again. Mm-hmm. She replied, you as well. Have a great holiday.
Hey, that doesn't make sense.
So yeah, I guess she meant it was nice to meet you as well. Have a great holiday. I think the point he's making is what she didn't say was, brilliant, let's meet up again next week.
Yeah, so, sure, I'm free on Thursday, that kind of
exactly,
thing.
Exactly, yeah. So, Helen, answer me this. Is she politely blowing me off? You know, she's not being impolite. She's not saying, I had a bad time. She's not listing your faults in detail.
Maybe she just didn't feel that spark. And she did reply, that is polite.
Yeah, I think, in a way, it's depressing that this is the best you can say for the text, but it is something you can say. I think there's a chance that she rated you 3 stars, that's, and she's like, you know what, I'm going to see if you...
Out of five, not out of three.
That she's going to now maybe go and, you know, have a few other dates, because that's what you do in the Americas, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, she'll come back to you, perhaps, if the others are even more disappointing than you are. Mm. That's the feeling I'm getting. It's not a complete blow-off.
No. But it is polite blow-off.
It's a polite blow-off.
We're all agreed on that.
Yeah, sorry, Joe.
Yeah.
Here's a question from Nick, who says, Helen, answer me this. Black ink or blue ink?
Well, it changes, Nick. It really depends on my mood. And,
doesn't for me.
And what else is on the page. I used to be very into black ink when I was at school because that seemed countercultural. Now I'm back to blue.
Why did it seem countercultural?
Because everyone was using blue.
Were they?
Yeah, idiots.
See, I've always, my whole life, maybe I'm just very conservative in this regard, I've always thought black looked more professional. I think once you've tried black, you don't go back. For me...
I've gone back.
Well, you have gone back. But I think you're on atypical.
It makes my handwriting look nicer.
I think it's just, you know, for formal contracts, it looks better. For drawing faces on fruit, it looks better. I can't really see a scenario where blue looks better. So I like red pen. Yeah, this option hasn't been given
that's
to
angry.
Us.
That's angry. Well, red pen is my correction.
Yeah, no, but I'd like to reclaim red from the markers and say, you know, because red's a very flamboyant, fun colour, isn't it? Yeah. It's very in-your-face. Yeah.
For proofreaders, it's our industry standard.
What about silver pen?
Whoa, that's
only
for
on
greetings
black.
Cards.
So seriously, why is there this phenomenon of the green pen letter? Why is green pen considered to be nutty? Yeah.
Well, it's like purple crushed velvet. Only lunatics wear that.
Usually with pictures of cats on.
Drawn in green pen.
Is there a thing with the green pen is it just the green ink brigade? Is it just because it's unorthodox?
Like this is a surprise. Like it's completely, there's no corroboration between your actual experience and the myth. You must have seen letters from nutters that are in green ink. In the same way, listeners, we value all of your email correspondence, but those of you who aren't children who send us emails that have backgrounds with teddy bears on
or brightly coloured fonts and that flash
or write in brush script, like obviously we're going to think you're a Meshuggah straight away, like before you've said anything at all. So I mean, I think this is part of how we judge each other, isn't it? Correspondence the same as fashion.
Yeah, you know, if someone writes to you in blood, you draw certain conclusions that may not be fair. Well, no, sometimes when I buy a multi-pack of Barrows, Ollie, it contains a yellow one. Now, what use is that, pray? What?
That's terrible,
can't see that.
I wonder if some look better under, like, neon lights. Maybe there's some niche condition where you're supposed to use your yellow pen. I heard from someone the other day that when you go into immigration at the US, you know when they scan your passport under that neon light?
Yeah.
apparently, is if they think you're a bit fishy, but they can't quite work out why.
Because they think you're from the Middle East, that's
that can be one reason. Yeah. The other thing can be just that you've answered one of their questions in a slightly indecisive way, but they can't pin anything on
you. I was jet-lagged, all right.
Exactly, I know. Yeah. You've been travelling for 14 hours.
Why are they always trying to screw with
my
mind?
I don't care what the name of my friend is that I'm staying with. But anyway, apparently what they can do is take a little bit of that UV ink and just dab the outside of your passport with it. So that in the future, whenever an immigration official scans the passport at that point, they'll just have that indication, that little signal from a previous immigration official that maybe something's up. And apparently that is why some people do every time they go, and they say, oh, I'm always getting picked on because of this and this. It might just be because at some point you've come across as a bit of a lunatic and they've marked you out.
If you are one of those people, then maybe you are the person for whom those useless, otherwise useless passport covers are made.
Yes, so that you could change the cover.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. If you're always getting pulled over by immigration officials, change your passport cover.
Go to Cath Kidston and get the passport cover. They'll never suspect you
just
again.
Wipe it down with an alcohol rub. That'll do the same job.
Would it? Does that take away UV pen?
Well, I assume it's either water-based or solvent-based, and alcohol probably do both, I would have thought. Mm. Yeah.
Well, my passport's covered in alcohol anyway, for obvious reasons.
Answer me this. 1066 was the Norman invasion. 1818 was the publication of Persuasion. Wasn't it? I love that book, they all wear bonnets. I got my own with a pretty flower on it. Don't I? I'm worried though, I think it makes me look a little bit effeminate.
Time for a question from Natalie from Cornwall, who says, on my 33rd birthday, my mum told me she prays for me, despite being a lapsed Catholic.
It's not the best present that you could get as a lapsed Catholic.
It's certainly a last-minute present, isn't it? I mean, There's digital download vouchers. And then there's, if you've forgotten to do that, just telling someone, oh, I prayed for you today.
Oh, hi, Natalie. I got you the best present of all.
Natalie continues, I thought this was very kind, my mother praying for me, until she mentioned that she prays that my life will turn out okay and that I'll succeed.
What's wrong with that?
Exactly.
It's nice for a parent to have your success at their heart.
Well, we're about to find out.
It's better than her saying, I pray that Natalie will die miserable, alone and failing.
Well, this is the thing. I think that's exactly right, Helen, but we'll get on to Natalie's question and then we'll come back to that thought.
Okay.
She says, this isn't the first time I've had the you're a bit of a failure, aren't you line thrown at me.
Well,
so you see, this is how she's interpreted this.
I see. So this is more about Natalie looking at her mother's positive and turning it into a negative because maybe Natalie has low self-esteem.
Possibly.
Or unfinished business in her own mind.
As friends have sometimes alluded to the fact that I have a degree, good A-levels and all that jazz.
How much jazz do you have?
All that jazz, Helen. Loads of it.
All of the jazz?
Oodles of jazz.
Self-replicating all the jazz.
Yet, I'm, quote, just running a gardening business, and I'm still single.
Oh!
And
all of your other achievements are wiped out by that.
And could have been, and I quote, so much more.
Oh, what are your friends doing? Are they also bloody great?
Well, this is the thing. So, Helen, answer me this. Why, when I run my own business doing a job I enjoy, rent a lovely flat overlooking the beach.
Only renting, you see, Natalie. You fail by not owning it.
Yeah.
And not owning the beach.
And have you not seen what's happening this year, living on floodplains?
Oh, and on erodible cliffs.
And I generally have lots of kind, nice friends and have a tip-top time.
Oh, good.
Why do other people feel the need to disparage this and try to make me feel like a failure?
Because other people are horrible.
Well, all right.
Okay.
I'll finish the question.
Yeah,
and then lots of thoughts to park along
loads.
The way. Who the heck gets to judge what is success?
St. Peter at the gate.
Debrett's.
Yeah.
Since when did having brains mean you have to have a corporate career?
Amen.
About 1982. Should I marry the first idiotic rich bloke I meet and pop out a sprog to validate my own existence? I think obviously not to that rhetorical question. Just because I don't have a million in the bank and a coronary-inducing stressful job.
Well, you live in Cornwall. How many people do have coronary-inducing stressful jobs in Cornwall?
Well, just as well, because they've got coronary-inducing food.
Have you seen Dudley's Catch?
I'm deemed to have lost all the pieces for the game of life.
No, you haven't. They're under the sofa.
So, Helen, answer me this. What is wrong with people, especially my own mother?
Well, your mother, I think it's different for your parents, because parents generally, I think they're always worried. But the words you've quoted of your mother's don't necessarily seem that disparaging. Your friends, however, suggesting that you should have been so much more. Where is that coming from? I feel that a lot, that I've wasted the belief that others have in me by not living up to my potential, but they don't say it. I mean, there was one friend who said that Martin was holding me back, but she's probably right.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I can just describe all of my life failings to being with Martin.
Yeah, although I'm not sure what you running a Citibank would look like, and I'd be frightened to live in that world even more than the one
hey,
we live in.
Hey, bonuses for everybody.
I think sometimes this is just a case of people justifying their own choices.
Yeah.
By, you know, reflecting what they've done, because maybe it is right for them and they genuinely are happy, onto other people, and assuming if they don't have it, they're not happy too.
So maybe your friends aren't necessarily the most empathetic bunch, or maybe they're unhappy and they're taking it out on you, because if you're happy, why are you rude to other people?
Yeah, with the friends, there's an element of sacrifice there, that like if you're the sort of person that's sacrificed having a relaxed job, having some nice friends, doing something you enjoy because you want to be become successful and high status and have a lot of money and a big house, then when you see people who don't do that and they seem to be having quite a nice time, you have to find reasons to justify it to yourself.
Exactly, yes. I think they are justifying their own choices. But I think it is slightly more complicated with the relationship and children thing. I mean, it's generally accepted if you ask most people in the street in the world, they'd say that one of the things that typically does make people happy is finding a soulmate and someone to live with. That it's not for everyone. Some people prefer to be alone. But generally speaking, it's not a surprise that your friends might feel that if you haven't got a man yet, which is what you seem to be alluding to...
Because tick, 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 33, Natalie, tick, 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 tick.
Exactly. That may be a problem. And with the children thing as well, you may have decided that you don't want children at all, but if you haven't, and more to the point, your mum might be thinking, even if you have later, you might come to regret it.
Tick,
again,
tick, 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 tick.
That's a bit complicated because you are at that age where you do have to make a decision.
Yeah.
I suppose people are just checking with you that you're happy with that decision. And again, it's not a comfortable conversation necessarily, but you can't be that surprised that people are having it with you, I think.
However, I'm impressed, Natalie, that you do seem pretty content.
Mm.
Because I think...
Me too, and I think that's good.
Yes, it's great, because with all these people going, your gardening business is not good enough, you've gone, no, it is good enough, thank you, and I'm very happy, thank you, and I think that takes a lot of presence of mind, so well done you, and because I found with the career path that I've taken, that there are some people who I've drifted away from because they don't really understand the following of an unconventional route, and the things that speak success to them are not necessarily the same that I feel successful by.
Yes. Well, this is it. You've got to live by your own rules, haven't you, to an extent?
Oh, I'm tired of my own rules.
Well, actually, if you live in Cornwall, there's very few people implementing any other kind of rules, so you might as well, to be honest.
Yeah, but you have to put the cream on top of the jam or you're beheaded.
But whatever rules you live under and however you live your life, we welcome all here. We're a broad church, even if you don't believe in church.
Even if you don't believe in broadness.
Yeah.
But if you see us, you would.
And we welcome your questions, as always. The details about how you can send us one of those by phone, email or Skype are listed on our website,
answermethispodcast.com.
And on that website, you can also find our first 3 years' worth of episodes, which are on sale for 79 pence each.
And our albums, which are on sale for
£2.49
each. Yeah.
No money at all. A trifle, listeners, to you, but a great deal to me. It's like we're Mr. Wendell and you're the band Arrested Development.
Yes, something like that.
No one's going to get that reference.
No, listeners. The ones of you that get that reference, write in and prove Martin wrong and me right.
Bye!